opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, January 16th. And it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today we talk about Christianity. Apparently, last week we discovered that there are different variations of Christianity, right? All my life I thought it was one type of Christianity. It was European, very Anglo-oriented. But apparently, St. Augustine's of Hippo, or that's Antioch, mentioned that Christianity was always in Africa. In fact, it was in Africa before there was such a thing as Christianity. That Africans practice a form of Christian, right? One God concept, right? With rules. And last week we had a real pastor. No, what I mean by real pastor, I mean he went to school. He has a PhD, not no honorary doctor's degree, not no reverend doctor's degree. Come on. And tell a different version of Christianity. My phones lit up. My text line lit up with people saying, hey, you got to bring him back for him to explain. And I said, yeah, I want him to explain because one or two things I just don't understand. Right? Today we have Dr. Cleveland Enius III in studio. He is a kahun, which is one of those African concepts. Means like a high priest type thing. Not like a bit. What's kahun means?
It's like a bishop? It's translated as
you don't know pastor no more. You was a pastor before.
So I also have the responsibilities of a pastor. However, in my pastoral journey, I've also now been given the added responsibility of being a kahun.
But what's a kahun?
A kahun is a priest, but is a priest that sits on a council of true Christian doctrines.
The bishop.
Within, bishop is a word that is used in monotheism. It means an overseer or one who
so you're a bishop.
That is one of the
let's
the
talk,
terms.
Let's talk Anglo, what I speak.
If that's what you need to understand it as, I don't use the word bishop.
I won't use the word bishop. Use a bishop.
When you call me bishop, you call me my great-grandfather, so I'm odd.
Yeah, okay.
W.V. Aeneas was a bishop.
Yeah, he's a bishop.
Yeah.
Yes, and basically you're like an equivalent of that. You sit on a body of kahuns.
Correct. Correct.
It's a council. It's council, and they do whatever.
There are some kahuns in the council, and there are those who are aspiring or those who are where they're at.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the kahun is above a pastor.
Correct.
Okay. So let's establish that. That was Uncle Sarah, mm-hmm. Who was speaking just now, who's also Cleveland Indians the third. Oh, the last time we were here, right, we were establishing the religion. I don't want us to go over that again because we ran out of time establishing the religion.
Right.
Right? And I know I have a series of conversations I want to touch on. Mm-hmm. And one of that conversations...
Before we go there, mm-hmm. I just wanted to quickly remind or let the listeners know of an event.
Love Lies Liberation?
Love Lies Liberation, which is an annual event at the Holy Coptic Church. This is our fourth year doing this type of event. And, you know, we want people to, some people will celebrate Valentine's. We celebrate what we call Friendship Day. But we use this as an opportunity to look at relationships and to look at different aspects of relationships, especially when we look at the spate of murders in the country. We know there's something wrong with the family. We know that there's things that we need to address. But the family ultimately is rooted in that relationship between the man and the woman in families where there are men and women, right? And I say that because over the next 5 weeks, if you go to journeyhomegroup.com, you'll be able to get information on this wonderful event. When we say sex, we're saying sacred energy exchange. We're talking about sex. We're talking about sacred energy exchange. And we're asking the question, do you know who's in your bed? You know, are you sleeping with the enemy? Or are you sleeping with your soulmate? You know, over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be asking questions or bringing up topics.
You're talking about sex into the church?
Well, you have to, because without sex, you would not have people to come to church. All those people who come to church came to this world through sexual intercourse, what we know as natural sexual.
And I can raise my hand and ask you a question about sex.
Oh, you could do that, yes.
And you
answer
me?
The first commandment, be fruitful and multiply. How else are you going to multiply without sex?
I didn't visualize that until now, no.
Yeah, that was the first one. First thing he said. He said, go to church. That wasn't the first command.
Finish talking about your thing, because I was having that as recreation, and you talk about procreating. Yeah. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's one aspect of it. So this event is in London, Trinidad, Tobago, Jamaica, Nassau, Bahamas. And it starts January 20th in London with the topic Revolution or Destruction, How Black Love Became Collateral Damage. And, of course, these topics are designed to make you think and make you go, what is that really about? Which is what we want you to do. We want you to come and actually be a part of the conversation. It's only $60 for the online fee for 5 weeks. All right, I think that's a pretty good deal. The in-person here in the Bahamas on February 3rd is a $60 fee, but that's in-person. There's a sip and paint. There's
things to do.
Things to do. And it's very interactive. But on that one is very interesting. The husband holocaust. Are you ready to share your mind? That's the question or the comment that's being put out there. And one of the things that brought this conversation to light, looking at the census, the most recent census, there are about 15,000 more women than men in the Bahamas. So if
that's a lot of women.
Yeah. So if we only have the doctrine of monogamy, there are going to be 15,000 women without a husband. So what do we do with them?
You got to share.
These are the things that we're going to be discussing. Go to journeyhomegroup.com. Get your tickets. I'm not going
to
give too much away.
I don't have to be a member of your church.
You don't have to be a member. And you don't have to agree. All right, it's really a statement that's just being put on the table. We're not saying that people have to agree or disagree. It's really going to be a time of fun, sharing, and ultimately healing, because we want to heal families. You understand? So I just wanted to put that out before we start the conversation.
I wanted to say it's a reality to be faced.
Yeah.
Right? We don't have to say confronted.
Right.
Whether you want to address it or not, it's a reality that we are living with.
Right.
Right. And you're living in that reality. And so do you ignore it? Do you hide it? Do you obfuscate it? Or do you put it on the table in the most important spaces to you? And if your religious community is the center of your community or your life, that's the space in which you should talk about it.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Love, lies, and liberation.
I'm not sure if I'm comfortable about Christians talking about sex.
Well, Nuri, you know,
because I have visual. My mind is just visualized, you know, so
I have a rule, and the rule is if you can't talk about it, then you're not mature to be engaging in it.
Don't let me start visualizing you.
No, Nuri. But these are the issues as a community that we need to engage. And if we say that faith is the center of our world, then we expect these conversations and opportunities to engage to arise from the safest space.
Yeah.
And so the church is the space that should be talking about these things.
The first thing that Elohim said to this male and this female, this man and this woman, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the
earth. But that's for being fruitful, not the type of things people be doing.
And multiply.
Anyway, which day that is, where they can register so we can start our conversation.
Journeyhomegroup.com is where you can go. This is from January 20th all the way to February 17th. So each week we're going to be in a different location, face-to-face, but you can come online.
Different locations, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And how long is each segment?
It varies, but these segments, 3 to 5 hours.
Okay, and it's interactive. We could go and ask you questions.
It's interactive. We want questions. We even have a segment where, for those people who have different talents, you may be able to share your talent as far as singing or being a comedy or whatever it is. We want it to be fun, but we want to address the realities that we're facing.
And what's the theme again?
So the theme here is an overarching theme of sacred energy exchange. All right. Are you sleeping with the enemy? Do you know who's in your bed? That's the overarching theme. But then each week there's a breakdown of that reality.
See, I came from a superstitious family who says sex you pass on demons and things. That sounds like that
is very true.
See, same thing.
That could be true, but that's not always true.
Oh, okay.
Repeat the overarching theme.
Oh, sacred energy exchange.
Right, sacred energy.
So what we're doing now is sacred energy exchange. We're exchanging energy. We're sharing ideas. We're speaking with each other. And that's important for us to express because the sex starts before the actual intercourse. That's why there's sex and then there's sexual intercourse. Mm-hmm. So how we communicate, how we interact, all of that ultimately garners energy. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do with that energy? Or what is that energy going to be allowed to do?
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's start our conversation.
Yeah, man.
Our conversation today is about the creation story. Mm-hmm. We are skipping ahead from where creation started, mm-hmm. because I know that we have a narrative, or you have a different narrative of in the beginning and at the beginning. And when we come back here, we're going to have a conversation on that.
Yeah.
But that's not the conversation today.
Right.
The conversation is post at the beginning, mm-hmm. or in the beginning, mm-hmm. and we are now at the creation of Adam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? I know who Adam is. God created Adam,
mm-hmm.
right? Male and female, he created them,
mm-hmm.
right? He told Adam and then Eve, be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
I know that different religions mention people like Lilith, whoever Lilith is. We could talk about that another day. And we even mention a third wife of Adam. But we ain't talking about that right now. We can invite Dr. Aeneas to talk about that if his religion mention such, right?
Mm-hmm.
But today we talk about Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, you said there are mm-hmm. three different Adams.
Right.
That there wasn't just one Adam created. That each Adam that was created have a different story and have a different people.
Mm-hmm.
So this earth that we live on is populated by the descendants of the different Adams. Am I right so far? No?
Yeah.
Okay. Now I want to know where you get that story that there were three Adams created, and how are you going to prove to me that there were three Adams created, and who are these three Adams? So that's all my questions there. You can start the theme about that, and then Aaron and I would interject when it don't make no sense no more.
So last week, I'll start off where we touched last week, all right? In the book of Genesis chapter 1, it makes reference, and I'll go to verse 27, right? So it says, Genesis chapter 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. When you look up this word man, and this is in the Strong's Concordance, I'm using the Blue Letter Bible, because this Bible allows us to actually look at the language with regard to the Hebrew or the Greek. All right? The word here for man is the word Adam, H-120. When we look up this word Adam, and there are different biblical, you have a biblical usage, you have a Brown Driver Briggs lexicon, you have the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon, all right, which is the one I'm going to tap into right now, the Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. It talks about this man, all right, and they say perhaps so called from the idea of redness, and then they say compare. They say the Arabs distinguish two races of men. One red or ruddy, which we call white, and the other black. But both these races are sprung from Adam. So that's three. You have Adam the original. Then you have the so-called red or ruddy or white Adam, and then you have the black or Hindu Adam.
And you're saying the Arabs said this?
This is what the Jacinius Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. Now, I'm often careful of, because they'll throw the word Arab out there, and then we immediately think about the Arabs that we have been introduced to as the pale Arabs, all right? However, that particular line that they call, for example, Saudi Arabia, all of that is a part of understanding who these three Adams are, because outside of the garden was called the Sauda. This Sauda, or this region outside of the garden, becomes your Saudi Arabia. This Arabia that originally was inhabited by Africans, and so these original Arabs were not the pale Arabs that you see there today. These were also Africans, all right? And so this story, or these records, are found in scripture, but we got to slow down and actually look at what the scriptures are saying in a way to see exactly how we've been confused by just taking a bunch of scriptures and putting them together as one.
You're trying to say that it's coded in the scripture, that the scripture actually explains this?
Yeah, so language is key. So language is key. So when we look at the first Adam and Eve, were they created separately or together?
And we, the wife and I, always argue about this, right? Mm-hmm. Whether God created two sets of humans,
mm-hmm.
right? And I argue that God created man, who's not Adam, mm-hmm. and tell them, be fruitful and multiply. Then later on in chapter 2, chapter 3, he created Adam and then Eve,
mm-hmm.
right? That's one set of humans, and then one is Adam and Eve. That's mm-hmm. that's how I explain it. We go back and forth.
Right.
Why do you say, my sister, you're crazy? But I mean, that's my theory.
So that's how I think a lot of us grew up thinking, or maybe trying to reconcile this obvious question that we have in scripture, right? How is it that in Genesis chapter 1, when you read verses 26 and 27, right? When we go back and we read it, it says here in Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. So that's a bit confusing, because we're first of all saying, let us make man, and then it goes to them, as if to say, we're only making man now, right? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So if we stop at Genesis 1 and 26, this would make us think that only men are going to be created right now, because let us create man. That's the way they interpret it. Then when you go to verse 27, it says, so God created man. Okay, so we still at men then, right? In his own image. Okay, so men are going to be made in the image of God, and God is being interpreted as a man here. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now we lost. How do we get females in this conversation if we was only making men? Or something was happening with this actual translation. So, number one, the male and the female are being created at the same time. Was in man first. This is in Genesis 1. This ain't me trying to pull the Bible apart. This is what we're reading. We're reading, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, this is your favorite part, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. That's the first thing that's being said to this male and female. Yes? They're created together. But then we have the conversation of man being created before woman. But that's not what this is saying. So this is the first Adam. This first Adam, the male and the female are being created together. This is the garden in Eden as opposed to the garden of Eden.
Wait, you're trying to say garden in Eden and garden of Eden is two different things?
That's correct. Because in Eden, eastward in Eden, in Genesis chapter 2, it talks about right around verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden.
Ah.
You see? And there he put the man who he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. So by the time as you get to Genesis chapter 2 now, you're moving into the second Adam.
So wait. So this Adam that you're talking about already being fruitful and multiplying.
Oh, yeah.
He already replenishing this earth.
Yeah.
And you're trying to say that's a different Adam from the second Adam you're going to talk about now.
Mm-hmm.
In Catholic school, they tell me, don't worry about that. This is not a chronological Bible. It's just a summary, and they might have mixed up whatever it is, but that's just a summary.
In order for information to be effective, it has to be taught in a sequential way. In order for it to be effective and not confusing, it must be taught in a sequential way. This is something our Basesh, Haruhotep Ta, always says to us. If we are supposed to actually understand this book, then the information should have been given to us in the way that it was revealed. It didn't reveal itself out of chronology, so why not keep it in the chronological order that it was actually revealed in, or the actual way things transpired.
So you believe that this Bible is not in chronological order? That
I don't believe that. I know that.
You're trying to say some books.
No, I'm saying you could research it right now. You could ask Google or whatever search engine you want to give you the biblical books in chronological order, and you'll find out that the way we're holding the Bible today is not in chronological order. The book of Job is before Genesis.
Give me the book of Job is before Genesis. Genesis is the beginning. Job was after Job came about, and he was patient.
So again, this is why we have the confusion that we have today religiously. Because we can do the research. We can actually take the time to do a simple search, and then from that simple search, do more exhaustive research to understand. Because I'm not a proponent of, hey, the first thing that comes up, that's the truth. I'm not saying that. I'm saying go and do more exhaustive research to see exactly how they use this book that they're calling the Bible as a tool to create a narrative that suits a society and a system and a way of life that works for some people and it doesn't work for most people.
I don't want to throw you off course because I know you're going to the second Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Did you suggest that Job was alive before one of these Adams?
No, it's not that we're suggesting that Job or Ayub, that Ayub, that African Ayub, who they refer to as Job, was not before this first Adam, because this first Adam, let me give you a little timeline just so we have a clearer understanding of when we talk about the original books of the Bible, right? We're talking about starting from 24 billion years ago when this planet was actually, there was initial contact made with this planet with this New Jerusalem that's mentioned in Revelation chapter 21. All right, they call it a New Jerusalem. It's a crystal city. If you read Revelation, that's a whole other show. You can read where the dimensions, the types of stones that are in this ship. It's a crystal city, or what we call raised manjet. It crashes into earth. There's massive flooding taking place. So Genesis chapter 1 actually starts as a flood. That's the first flood in the Bible, not Noah's flood. Okay, the very first flood is in Genesis chapter 1.
So it's two floods?
There's two floods with regard to the King James translation, but there's more than two floods.
Oh, gosh.
Because this replenishment continued. That's why there was a replenishment. What they're not explaining is that in between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, there were verses in between those verses that were removed to Jeremiah chapter 4. They call it the gap theory. All right. If you read, let's just do a little experiment. If we read Genesis chapter 1, right, which we have pulled up already, Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, I'm just pulling it back up. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. First of all, the inquiring mind, such as mine, I want to know why we're even talking about earth. Why aren't we talking about the solar system? Why is only earth being mentioned here? Not the solar system. Only earth is void. The solar system ain't void. The earth is. Okay? Now, if we go to Jeremiah chapter 4, all right, and we look at verse 23, I think is what we want, right? Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. That don't sound like Genesis 1?
It sounds similar. It sounds similar.
Why would the earth have been without void again in Jeremiah 4?
But not just that. From what perspective would he have seen the earth?
Correct. Who was telling the story?
Right.
Clearly, whoever was telling the story was in the water. Because there was void.
Because there's only water.
It's only water. Mm-hmm. Whoever's telling the story is in the water. Right? But I'm saying all that to say that what the Bible redactors, what they did, and they have what you could, for those people who want to research it, it's called the documentary hypothesis. All right? The JP, the E, and the D. All right? There are these four sources that are mentioned, right? And what they were doing was taking from these original records, and again, you can find these original records at the beginning of the Zondervan King James Study Bible, but going all the way back from 24 billion years ago where there's initial contact into a second phase from 24 billion to 500 million years ago, and then we get to the third phase of 17,250,000 years ago. This is when this story of Genesis is taking place, this Bereshith. So anywhere from 24 billion years ago to 17,250,000 years ago, that's a lot of time. That's a huge amount of time that's not being discussed. So when you see us holding up the original books of the Bible, the Bereshith, or the African book of Genesis, is actually the second papyrus. You understand? The papyrus before this has 14 books before you even get to Genesis, which is talking about things that we may have questions about, we may have heard about, but it's not really made clear. Mm-hmm. You understand? And then it moves into this period of a first man called Noah, all right, and his wife, Nunet. So this is where the first Adam is coming in. There was Nun and Nunet.
Second, have you ever been confronted with or seen the theory that, A, this is the replenishing, mm-hmm. but that when the scripture says, called for Adam to collect the seed of each animal, mm-hmm. that they were really talking about DNA?
Yeah. So, because that comes from a story out of Sumeria, Utnapishtim. Utnapishtim was a zoologist. Utnapishtim, there's no way he could have had all these animals on this ark.
Right.
So what, and they're doing it now today, actually. They're keeping seeds right now and DNA right now on the poles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In the poles. Certain seed banks. All right. They're doing it with the seeds for plants and the seeds for people.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But they're keeping the genes so that when we have the polar shifts, which is really what was taking place in the Noah story, which that's another show. It wasn't that God was just so mad, the way the King James Version is touting it as, well, God is mad. He just hit flush, mm-hmm. right? The guardian angelic hosts, as they are today, were upset with our behavior because in the book of Matthew 24:37, it says, as it was during the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. So during the days of Noah, every thought and every imagination that people were having was wicked, which is what we're seeing today, all right? And that has to do with the fact that this gene, this divine gene, as we give birth and have sex, natural sexual union, right, out of season and not understanding how to procreate, we water down the genes.
You make this Bible, this creation story sound so sci-fi. Like they had like spaceships involved, right?
Who would be the greatest scientist other than the Most High? Who? The science that we experience today.
I picture Noah inside a boat and they had lifting up animals and elephants.
You were
given
the image of Noah inside a boat.
And you're
picture.
Collecting DNA and thing.
Correct.
I mean, more things get fit inside there. But I never thought about it.
You could fit as many animals as you could grab DNA from. You understand? And some instances it was DNA, and then and in other instances they would procure the babies of animals, because this has happened many times. They would procure the baby animals of those types of animals that they wanted to save, because by the time you get to the book of Genesis, chapter 6 through 9, thereabouts, you're also referencing the Enuma Elish, which these are Sumerian records, the Atrahasis, that talk about this period of flood. We ain't getting into the flood today.
Right? Actually, I have a callie here.
Yeah.
But what you're saying, is that is this connected to the Sumerian text? Because Sumerian texts yes. have all...
Yes, so the Sumerian... That's but, when it,
so how come we have so much different stories? And they all connect?
So... When we talk about these stories, we got to go back to the migration of humanity out of Africa, the Bantu migration. They refer to it as the Bantu migration. There's information now that even talks about a particular gene in West Africa called ghost DNA. You can look this up. NPR mm-hmm. talked about this. Ghost DNA. And they're referring to it as ghost DNA because they don't know what it is. But it's talking about the genes of those descendants, as we refer to them, or those beings that came to this earth. And they say in the book of Genesis chapter 6, it talks about the sons of God coming in unto the daughters of men. There's a divine gene that has been placed amongst certain people.
Do you actually believe that happened?
I'm telling you, NPR is talking about ghost DNA. They're talking about a DNA that they cannot give earthly origin to. Mm-hmm. In West Africa, this ghost DNA, or this group of people who have this gene, were also migrating out of West Africa into the rest of the world. You understand? So before the Nile Valley civilization, because oftentimes we have this discussion, why are you talking about Egypt? But we from West Africa.
Yes.
West Africans built the Nile Valley civilization. That's why a garden had to be placed eastward in Eden, because we was in the West Africa first.
Hmm.
You understand? And as we migrated, we had records, because we were talking about the records. As we migrated, we had records, but we also were dealing with cataclysmic events, meteorite showers, ice ages, floods, tornadoes, et cetera, because the planet goes through these types of changes every so often.
Periodically.
Mm-hmm. What they call it, a polar shift. You understand? But so the first, just to be clear on the first item, though, and why they were created at the same time, is you have Nun and Nunet, He and Hehet, Kek and Keket, Amun and Amenet, these four groups that were actually over a period from anywhere from 17,250,000 years ago to 2 million years ago. This is what the Chewbacca stone is teaching us.
Okay, we got to go to the caller.
Sure.
But now we which item are we still on?
We on the first, moving into the second.
Okay, we got to go back to that story because I don't know how we get three different items.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning to you, everybody there, and good morning to Fritzy Tunnel. I can never remember.
Don't worry about that.
I'm cool. That's fine.
Okay. Now you see my brother there, Mr. Ian, you see, from a child, I've been asking these questions, maybe you've been asking as well, but
yeah.
I believe we've been so brainwashed that we believe that asking our religious question, our religious leaders questions, they'll convince us that we're sinning. Mm. We ain't supposed to ask them no questions. Whatever they get in the pulpit and tell us on Sunday, every Sunday, we're just supposed to say yes or yes or thank you very much.
Mm.
From I was a child, every Sunday I go to church, and the only thing they do is telling me Jesus died for my sins. For 72 years, they've been telling me Jesus died for my sins, and they ain't got nothing else to say.
Right.
See, most of our religious leaders, they went to seminaries and everything, and they've been taught. You went beyond the call of duty, and you went elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You went out to study something else other than Jesus just died to save our sins.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is the holy begotten Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
And for God so gave the world, so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Mm-hmm. You went further than that.
Yeah.
And I try to tell them something like that. If they could listen to Sparky for a moment, they came and tell me that Jesus was missing from the age of 12, that he came out of the wilderness at the age of 30 to start his ministry.
Right.
18 years out of the Bible, nobody knows where Jesus was.
That's a show. We could do that show,
Jesus
too.
Jesus went off in caravans And he went to visit many different countries, like Ethiopia, India, China, all over the place. He learned a lot of different religions, and then he decided to go back home to start his ministry up against the high priest and the Roman government. And that's what they killed him for, because he started telling people the truth. And the Roman government and his own religious leaders was asking him to shut his mouth, and he decided he was not going to shut his mouth. So one Friday they say, you know, it's the Roman custom.
It's a good Friday.
People every Friday, and you have to be buried before sunset. That's the story that they didn't tell us. The truth about where Jesus went for 18 years. He traveled in caravans. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sparky.
Okay, before we have you start again and as we transition to the second item, I have some text I want Aaron to quickly read, and then we go straight back to you so you can address some of these concerns also. Go ahead, Aaron. Let's read all of them quickly, and then we go straight to
you. See, I love the topic being discussed. What does the Bible say about couples of the same sex and want to adopt children? Is this an abomination, considering the act of same-sex couples is an abomination? How can same-sex couples multiply? And then there was a full stop. I want to get every text. Another text. It only make it funnier that no one knows what is gopher wood that the ark was made from. Another text, morning, I agree that Adam was not the first man or the only man created by God. Evidence of civilization existing long before Adam should have suggested this. Even with his lineage living 100 years each, living 1,000 years each, the math ain't mathin'. I believe Adam was created and set apart from others. Maybe they didn't know the rest of the world existed until they were kicked out of the garden. How does Cain take his sister and build a whole city with no one to live in it? And who was he so afraid of that God had to mark him? I don't think there were three Adams, though. Another text. Actually, Cecil, that's what the text is saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Bible says Elijah taken up in a chariot of fire. What's a chariot to the people of biblical time? It's just a mode of transport. They'd, for example, refer to a Porsche as a chariot. So what chariot do you know that goes up in the sky and disappears, leaving a trail of fire? Is it possible that Elijah went into space in a rocket ship?
And these are very good questions. So let's just jump back into Adam, though.
Let's go jump back into Adam.
Yeah, because it's going to take us, you know, many shows to get through those types of questions. So by the time as we get to the second Adam, so this first, these are Africans. Let's just be clear about that. These are ancient Africans that are being mentioned here. And this ties into this Noah story. There's a flood, as we just talked about earlier. But then you have this second Eden, all right, with this second Adam, or land of Kadmon. All right, Genesis 15, verse 19, it references this land of Kadmon. All right, that's important because we talk about the garden placed in Eden, and Eden is Africa. All right. But then there's a garden of Eden. Genesis 2 and 15, it talks about a garden of Eden. All right. When you look etymologically at this word of, you see the word away or away from. So now there's another garden being created, this Kadmonites, all right, which is a word that means Easterners. This second Eden is in Bali, Indonesia. Here's the kicker. The capital of this land is still called Eden to this day. So it ain't something you even got to get deep about. Eden is still there today. All right? So this Bali or Indonesia, who had their own Adam, and they had a city called Adam. This is in Joshua chapter 3, verse 16. In Joshua 3:16, they talk about a city called Adam. All right? And this was separate and apart from the Eden of ancient Africa, or what we call Tamarite. All right? So these groups are related, however, but they're not exactly the same.
How are they different?
Well, genetics. All right? This first group is the gene of the ancient African. By the time as you get to the second Adam, this is where When we just read about the white and the black Adam, this is where they talk about the black Adam now. So this first Adam has a group that has seven different hues. This is also why they talk about the covenant of the rainbow and the seven colors, because those seven colors also represent the seven types of melanin that were coming out of this first Adam. And also the differences in the second Adam is the hair is now straight. So you have black people with straight hair now. You understand? The gene has been affected. All right? And so this is also why when we start to talk about different atoms, there had to have been different atoms based on the fact that you have different blood types today. All right, we can't ignore blood types. We can't ignore the fact that if you want a kidney transplant or a liver transplant or a heart transplant, you got to find a match. You understand? And the way people have been mixed up in this Holocaust of ours, a person may not even look like you and be a match, because that's how blood works, right? And so this second group, this group here, and so in the original books of the Bible, each one of these atoms has a different book that's dedicated to understanding who they are. So this second group is referred to as, so the first group would be the ancient African atom, and then you would have this second group, which is referred to as the Book of the Kadmonites of the Phoenician stock of Hindus. So these black Africans that now are being influenced by Hindu doctrines. All right? They are in Indonesia. They are in and around Bali. This is why you have, for example, so much concern about banyan trees. For those who know about the banyan, if you go to Luthra, they have a tour to the banyan tree. But why?
What about Sanskrit? And he's talking about the Indians talking about these spacecraft and war in heavens. Is that
the Vimanas? Yes, the Vimanas. That's a part of the Upanishads. That's a part of the records of these people in that part of not only the Indonesia, but what they're calling the land of Hind. If you take the H off of Hind, you're back to Ind, India again. But these were Africans. When you talk about Zoroaster, where Zoroastrianism comes from, Zoroaster is an African.
So they have a separate story. So yes, this is two different stories.
Remember, there's many years and many stories.
I have one callie here, and I know I ran out of time, so we got to skip to that third Adam soon. But let me engage this callie here. And right after this call, we're going straight to the break and come right back, producer. So let's do that. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good morning to Mr. Green and CNU and Anku. Anku.
Hey, my brother.
Yeah, you know, you have no problem convincing me of what you're saying, okay? Because, you know, I knew that monotheism came out of Africa, and I know that Europeans are twisted, but I can't remember if it was Akhenaten, Alfonso from the Congo region, or Apatel. I can't remember which one of them started the doctrine of monotheism. But I knew that from the 9th century, there was a guy called Eldad, who was a Hebrew, and he was always talking about the presence of black Hebrews south of the Sahara. So my question for you is, I have the book from Babylon to Timbuktu. Mm-hmm. I've read most of it, but I've had it for years. It's a guy called Rudolf Benzo had written it. And in it, he speaks about the Ethiopian Empire and the influence of Ethiopian Empire in Samaria. And as he talked about how far east the Ethiopian Empire was and where they learned the tradition of hooning rocks, et cetera, et cetera. So I just would like for you to comment on that. And I noticed that you are very, 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 very knowledgeable in word lexicology, right? Mm-hmm. And so explain the words Bonash and Amal that people seem to confuse, that really caused the confusion about the virgin birth. Mm-hmm. Bonash, I think it means son of man, and Amal, which means a woman of marital age versus a virgin.
Right.
Because in the lexicology, the meanings get lost, and I like how you explain that to people. So this is where we're being due. Bless up.
Yeah, my brother. I don't think we're going to get to the word today because we run out of time. But with regard to the Ethiopian architecture moving into the land of Samaria, remember biblically Nimrod, who was the son of Cush. The word Cush, when you look up this word, they say it's Ethiopia. All right? And so Cush would have given birth to Nimrod, and then Nimrod would have taken what he learned into this area that they call in Sumeria, where he built five cities. You understand? So this is why you have in Sumeria, you have what's called the ziggurats. And these ziggurats, they're usually circular, but then you will find some that are square, because the square base was from the pyramid building. The ziggurats were circular buildings. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say shout out to a young Bahamian brethren named Ampil, who told me a long time that people represent places. So when you said Nimrod came out of Cush,
yes,
that's his son.
Right.
The way that they
so that's a, that's an Ethiopian actually going into those lines, because they mentioned mm-hmm. four rivers in Genesis: the White Nile, the Blue Nile, the Tigris, and the Euphrates River.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that being said, because I know we're running out of time, you have these Cadmonites of the Phoenician stock of Hindu. Then you get to the third Adam. This third Adam.
We can talk about the third Adam right after this commercial
all right,
break.
No problem.
Because I want hair about my Hebrew people, right? Where this Adam I know about with Eve, that got to be one of them. And I hear you mention and claim that story yet. I
so don't know which one. You ain't worried about claiming the first Adam or the second Adam. You want trying to set. Claim this. You trying to claim the third Adam.
That's them black set. And then we have that Arab red set. I want hair about the Conquijo ones. But anyway, we're going to take a break.
And the black, blue, and the cobalt ones. You want to hear about them, right?
Yes, because you know I won 400 Irish. So I want to hear about my people.
This time my name is Aaron.
Yes. We'll be right back.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Hi everyone, Dazzy here. Listen, after 50 years of independence, to be a Bahamian in today's world also carries with it the responsibility of global citizenship. Tune in and sit with me. We'll discuss international news, finance, economics, pop culture, and trends that affect us as Bahamians not only locally, but also our contributions and opportunities beyond the rock. Beyond the Rock with your host, Dazzy, begins January 16th, 6:30 to 7:30, right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, we have Cleveland Inius III, Dr. Cleveland Inius III, who is also a Kahun. Kahun in the, let me see if I get the right name.
In the big kahuna sense.
Yes. The Coptic Church, the yes. Holy Coptic Church of the Black Messiah.
Yes.
Yes. And we're talking about the various Adams. And we need a 2-hour show to go through these things, yeah. Man. This hour show ain't working out, right? Mm-hmm. And because I get text galore, I say, ask this, ask that, and I say, but I talk about Adam.
Right.
So there's, so far, there's two different Adams. We have that original Adam.
This is African Adam. Now you have this the Cadmonites of the Phoenician stock of Hindus. And now you have...
And they all have different origin stories.
They definitely have different origin stories. Because this first Adam is actually... That story of 24 billion years ago is when you start talking about this first Adam. The second Adam doesn't come around until about 50,000, that's when they start to log them. That's not when their genes come into existence, but that's when they start to log them 50,000 years ago. And then this third Adam is 8,400 to 6,000 years ago.
That's how old Earth is. But that's
aha. So that's why they're telling us that the Earth is 6,000 years old, because this particular Adam is controlling the narrative. This particular Adam is referenced in the original books of the Bible as this the book of the graphstation of the Adam son of Europa. So this Adam son of Europa, called the Caucasian, or etymologically you hear the word carcass Asian or decaying Asian, or this Adam who's now losing his pigmentation. The straight hair is there, but now we're losing the pigmentation. Where the gene of vitiligo has now been inserted into humanity, and now a bleaching process is taking place. You have a group in the mountains called the Flugelrods. You have Neanderthal. You have all these different manifestations of this particular Adam son of Europa. And these are those who have put their image within the religious community and the world at large as saying, well, we're, when you talk about Adam, you need to talk about us. When you're talking about Jesus, you need to talk about us. When you talk about God, you need to talk about us. They're controlling the narrative right now. You understand? When you mentioned before the break about, you say, our Hebrew heritage, the word Hebrew is first introduced to us before Abraham, because they'll say Abraham was the first Hebrew, because Hebrew, it's a verb. It means to cross over. All right? He was crossing over from the area of the Tigris, Euphrates, from Ur of Chaldees, and he was moving into what they're calling the land of Canaan or Kadmon. And that was Hebrew in the terms of one who was crossing over. That was the verb. But before Hebrew, you have the word Eber. All right? And this Eber is representing this African Hebrew, which is when you start to talk about the books of Hebrew, you're talking about these Africans, those from Eber. You understand? So this third Adam now is where you, for example, get the story of the Romulus and Remus. You understand? The Roman Empire. All right? It's coming out of the Eda text or the Eda text.
So right? In the earlier iterations, there were male and female partners, right? Is the Romulus and Remus a contemporary to them?
Well, remember, so it's different stories. So let's go back to the second Adam. Let's go back to the Kadmonites. The reason why Adam was being talked about before Eve wasn't because Eve hadn't been created.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the garden before Eve, because the garden was an actual university called Akhet Aten. Now, you can look up Akhet Aten online or what they refer to as Amarna. All right? Amarna is a place that exists today. They literally tore it down and used the bricks from Amarna to build another city only because of an earthquake where they are able to unearth some of the things we're talking about today about Akhenaten, as one of the callers made reference to, who was actually reviving this way of life of atonism. So this Adam that we're talking about now is, this third Adam is much younger and ultimately has control of the narrative, whereby they'll teach the world that the world is, there's only 6,000 to 10,000 years old, which is nothing compared to the original stories that we just talked about today.
Is that because his consciousness is locked into his is connected to his time on earth, so he doesn't know that anything existed before him?
Right, his genealogy only goes back 8,400 years.
Yeah.
He's from earth. You understand? This is why the Messiah was saying, I am from above. You are from below. I am from above. But above not only meaning celestially, but above, the word they use there is Anu. And this word Anu, again, is a Sumerian word representing the Most High, talking about a lineage. He was saying, my lineage is much older than yours, but you're from earth.
Mm-hmm.
We done run out of time.
Yeah.
You know I got to invite you back,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, man.
But I can't talk with Adam next time again, so I got to find another topic.
Noah's spaceship, why is 15,000 plus women in the place than men? And,
yeah.
And what are we supposed to do about
that? Yeah.
I ain't volunteering or nothing. I just saying.
That's not bad. Oh, I could talk about the flood. Or I could talk about the Indians talk about these, that war, that spacecraft shooting up, down, and things.
I could read you, next week I could read you a wonderful story from a news article where they talk about certain world leaders going to see one of those actual.
And the connection between the African and Indian.
Yeah, we could talk about that.
I like that. Yeah. Next week, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri, talking to Dr. Cleveland Inyas III, who's also known as Kahun Onku Sara. He's a PhD doctor who's going to seminary school, and he's telling you his church's version of Christianity and the origin of man. Anyway, we gotta go.